lifting your hands, and you look over and somebody's flatlined. I mean, they're flatlined. They're not there. They're in the room. They're not getting it at all. Spirit of God's moving. There's power, and they're just there. You know what I mean? And I want to encourage you with something. When the Lord says, you know, be alert, it doesn't mean you're stupid. But it means you're human, and it means God wants to get a hold. But one word, overcoming, overcome. There's a word that I believe goes with what Uncle said, and I want to read something. Jesus was talking to the disciples about things that would happen. In John 16, he makes a statement, 16:33, and he says something very simple. I need to overcome. When I got saved and I came to Jesus, let me tell you something. There was not, I'm not going to say a laundry list, but there was things that, Barbara, I needed to overcome. I couldn't do it no more. I didn't want to be in bondage no more. I needed freedom. And I read this verse for the first time, but I read it because I started in John. Remember, you know that weird thing people say you get born again? Just start reading in John. And listen, actually, that's not a bad thing. John is, they call it the gospel of the gospels because it kind of, it's a short version in my opinion of some things, and it's the way the Lord puts it. And I read this verse in 16:33, and the Lord says, these things, speaking to the disciples, I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. He says, I have overcome the world. Let me widen this up. Jesus says to take courage. You're going to have some trouble. Because tribulation, if we want to put the word tribulation or trouble, trauma, trial, things will come against you. You will fight. But he says, be of good courage. I've overcome the world. And it's like a proxy. If Jesus has overcome the world and he is in me, then I can dwell in this world and be an overcomer. Listen, the gospel message will never have power unless the people, myself, you who are speaking it are under that power. The gospel message will never give hope to an addict unless someone who was addicted says, I overcame. I'm free. I couldn't get out of this. It was me. It was a part of my being, and it stopped. Listen, I'm giving you a prophetic word in that the Lord wants that testimony in your mouth. Not thank God he forgave me for what I am and he left me in a pile of bondage and lust to my flesh and carnality. That's garbage. If you would have preached that to me when I was in drugs, I would have laughed in your face because that would not have been a hopeful message. I would have said, oh, excuse me, I'm Catholic. I already do the confessions. God's already good with me. I already got that system of religion where I could say, forgive me, and he does, and I stay the same. I'm already, Catholics got that one down. But I saw change. I saw change. Now, did I see perfection in the person talking to me? Were they perfect? No, they were not. But there was radical change, and they had overcome. They had overcome the power of sin. They had overcome the grip it held on their life. They marched to a new drummer, and that was it. So when Jesus talks to the disciples, and he says, hey, don't worry, you're going to have tribulation, but take courage, courage. I have overcome the world. If he has overcome, we have overcome. It is a part of our being. Let me explain something. If anybody tells you, no, I'm not an overcomer, it's actually technically not true. What can happen is we grow in the Lord, we learn and grow in the things seated in us. That's why the word uses metamorphosis. Do you know a butterfly if you come? It doesn't go from a caterpillar and a little puff of blue or colored smoke and then you get a butterfly. It goes into this weird thing. In fact, when I was a kid, I was trying to figure out, I saw a cocoon, and I used to tear them open because people said there was a butterfly in there, and I heard a lot of butterfly lives with that. But the thing is, there's a transition and a process, and we're needing it, guys. See, the devil will come to you and say, you're not an overcomer. You've did this before. In fact, what he tries to tell us is that we are something that we are not no more. Did you understand the devil lies to people? And because we have an emotion, and because we kind of look at maybe a struggle, we start not only to side with it, we start to say, this will never change. That's just simply not true. It's not true. Not only are you an overcomer, God designed, he wants his overcoming to be your overcoming, and he wants a testimony in your life to be that you have came and that you have overcome. You know, it unnerves Christians if you talk like this, especially if there's habitual sin that they will not deal with. Because what it does when I'm stuck and I've been stuck, it really calls my profession a bit of a lie. It makes a statement that's not consistent with what God says. And God's never a liar. I have been. God has never been a liar. Now, I was thinking of something, and I just want to explain something. James 1:21, and the reason I'm going to read this little passage about overcoming, because hearers and doers of the word, is because I want to explain something to you. We're going to go to James, all right? And we're going to read, actually, just to stop, 1:21 through 24. And James is talking about being a hearer and a doer of the word. Part of your makeup as an overcomer is God has written his word in your heart. And his word also describes what your born-again experience has done. And he goes up in 21, and I'll connect it in a second. He says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And the one thing that the half-brother of the Lord is saying, he is saying, listen, receive the word. And the way the word defines it, if you receive the word, that means it's gotten in you. And that means it's having its way in you. It's not an intellectual thing where you just say, I'm receiving it. When we receive, it's supernatural. And that word gets in there. But he says, make sure that you're not a hearer, but a doer of the word. It says in 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Because a person that hears truth gets a charge out of it and it doesn't change him. It's a delusion. And here's the delusion. God did not design me to speak scripture, to look at scripture, and that scripture doesn't root and change my behavior. So it's not how it is. If I live a life to where I read this intellectually, take courage in it, and it does nothing, it's a form of delusion. Can I explain something to you? This is one of the greatest delusions this 21st century church has faced, because the word of God changes men, and yet men and women are unchanged. And the freedom of Christ frees men, and yet they're still ball and chain. They're still the sound of chains and fetters and repetitive stuff that doesn't come over. That's why James says this. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. When I talk, and let me connect the dots here. When I talk about that you're an overcomer and Jesus has made you an overcomer, the word says you're an overcomer. So when I look in the word and I see that I'm an overcomer and God's going to make, he's making me a new man, and I turn away from it, I remember what I am. And one of the ways that I remember is the changes are going on in my visible life. It talks about a hearer and a doer, or a hearer and not a doer, is like one that looks in a mirror, because this is the mirror. In fact, the representation when you see mirror in the tabernacle, there was something called the laver where the priest washed. And in the laver were these little mirrors they put. So as you would wash, you could see yourself. The water of the word washes who you were, makes you who you're becoming. When I talk about overcoming, when people overcome and God's making those changes, they look at the word, and because it's who they are, they resonate with it and say, wow, that's true. And they turn around and live. And what the word asks of them doesn't go away when they turn from it. They don't forget their natural face, because when I say you're an overcomer, it actually is who you are. If you believe today that overcoming is something you're trying to get a hold of, but you're a believer, that would technically be wrong. Now, you might say, Pastor Mike, wait, I don't get this. I know you've had shortcomings, and I've had shortcomings. Yes, I have. But none of that says I'm not an overcomer. Because God's already set. He's cast the die. Mike's an overcomer. Mike is not in bondage to sin no more. Mike, in a situation, may choose to sin. Mike may chase sin down. But that works directly and diametrically opposed to who I actually am. That's why when we talk about the scripture saying that it talks about people who suppress the truth in a lie. Because who we are is who we are. You know, I've often told people sometimes when they pray, they'll pray, and I said, a woman with a horrible bondage sat in a church meeting. Well, that's a good place to be, I think. And she sits in this church meeting and she tells everybody, you got to ask the Lord to take this from me. And my friend said, I'm going to pray, but you got to understand something. He's already taken it. You're holding on to it, but he's already taking it. I can't ask him to take it. He took it already. The blood, the new regeneration, the spirit came into you. You are clinging to it. And I told my friend, I said, that was really wise what you said, because people mess this all the time. In fact, if I say, Matt, pray for me, this thing keeps going on and I'm not changing, ask God, he would take it. There's a little trick, like a little kid there. What the person is doing is taking out their true responsibility. I'm gripped in this. God, take it from me. God says, man, if that thing on the cross and the Holy Spirit and the veil rending, let me explain. I took it. You're gripping it. You're leaning on it. So the new prayer, now this doesn't mean you're without prayer. The new prayer is, Father, forgive me because I choose to do this, because I hang on to it, Father. You broke the chains. I'm grabbing it back, but you snapped the chains. I'm pulling back the old man. You've made a new creation. That's what it says. The beauty of overcoming, but the language. We can be like children. I did it. Oh, I think I got a spirit, man. Right there I'm saying, I think something's just stronger than me. Oh, God, you got to take this. If you'll take it from me, I won't do it. You know, it's interesting. When Jesus told the woman, repent, you know, he frees her from being stoned, and he says, go and sin no more. Do you not think she could have went out, found a married man, started another affair? Yes, she could have. See, a lot of this is like an illusion. That's why it says a hearer and a doer, and it says it's like a man that looks at his natural face, because the word shows me what I am as a believer. If I turn around and my life has none of that coming alive, it is a delusion, and I'm walking away forgetting what I look like, because the Word tells me what I look like. Now, there is an issue of trust. There is an issue of faith. There is an issue of getting away from pride. It's very important that we are overcomers, and you may say, today I am struggling. Listen, part of the reason God uses messages like this is because Christians get in states where they are delusional, where they believe there's something they're not. You're not a sinner still in bondage. Jesus paid the price. The Spirit was poured out. Many times people run back to weak and beggarly elements, it says. And then there's even the other thing. We take great comfort in our shame. We actually do. That's why when the Christian, I call it the Christian encounter, where people sat in a circle and cried about the habits they would not deal with, and they got comfort from that. There's a scripture that says, in the end times, men will glory in their shame. That's all that is, glorying in their shame. They're not getting better. I was talking to a guy, and he said, you know, grown man. In fact, he had said some really good things to me when I was backslidden in the world. And he was talking to me after I got saved, and he kind of floored me. He said, you know, man, I was just blessed today. And I said, what was it? He said, oh, I was just doing some reading, man. And, you know, I just got to tell you, I'm a porn addict. I said, Rick, how long have you been saved? 25 years. Really? 25 years in? 25? You're not a teenager no more, and you're not still growing, Rick. But he said, you know what? I read somewhere that Moody was a porn addict. And I said, number one, I'd love to see that history book, because I don't think it exists. And he said, and that gave me great comfort. I hope you're getting upset at this point. Imagine that Jesus overcame and made him an overcomer, and he finds comfort that he is still in deadly bondage. And I may add some nasty bondage 25 years later. That is a man that's delusional, that when he looks away from the mirror, he forgets what he looks like. God paid the price, he wouldn't be in bondage. Not to mention it'll harm his wife, it'll harm his kids, it'll harm everything around him, and it had. In fact, there's a story that goes on past that point, and it didn't work out real well. Imagine that. Jesus saves our souls, he saves our wives, he saves our family, and we completely just jack it into the ground. And then somehow say, well, I wish there was something I could have did about it. Not true. Now, I'm not going to try to keep you a lot, but we're going to do just a couple of things here. What do we battle with? And I want you to write this down. I want you to write these scriptures down. Typical things. 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul talks about battling with thoughts, imaginations, everything that comes up against the Word of God. Okay? I want you to think about this. That's why Paul says we are taking captive every thought. Have you ever had a thought? Of course you do. I do too. Have you had a thought that when you start thinking it, it runs contrary to the Scripture big time? And as you're thinking it, there's a voice that says, that's totally against the Word of God. What do you do at that moment? whether you're getting mad, whether you're getting suspicious, whether you're getting paranoid, whether you're getting whatever. Just fill in that blank for your own life. And you look at, and Paul says, we're taking thoughts captive. So if I'm an overcomer and a thought comes, especially there's some thoughts to where I don't even have to dig deep to go, that's totally not God in my mind. I'm taking that captive. We cease thinking it. We cease speaking it. We cease coming at it. Because many times, here's what we don't realize. A lot of people go, it's good to be honest, so just let out what's inside. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you want to cuss out your wife, I'm going to tell you, you'd be better to keep your mouth shut. And I'm going to tell you this, don't worry, you're not suppressing what's real. You're stopping what's wrong. Next time you pass a driver, even if it sounds weird and he cuts you off and you want to like give him a new name. You know how we do that? In fact, it's a christening. We beep and then we give the driver a new name. I've done that. In fact, one time a guy waved to me, and I went and went, oh, he's not waving to me. And then I looked, and his face was red, and I could read his lips, and he said, you, and I just got to go, ooh, person. Yes, Don, no doubt about it.
Waving something, but not what you expected.
I do got a story about the imaginations, and there was a guy going to church, and a person cut him off, and he just had had it that day. I don't know what went wrong, 10 in the morning. He's full of the spirit, then he's full of another spirit. He pulls up beside the car, and he gives him the one-finger salute. Problem was, is when he came out of his office on the pulpit, the person was a first-time visitor to his church that was sitting in the front row. Doesn't work. We're dabbling thoughts, 2 Corinthians. Paul says, you know, he's divine weapons to pull down. Thoughts, imaginations. Secondly, Ephesians 6:12, we do wrestle with the devil because it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Have you guys ever seen the workings of the devil, how subtle, how good he is at that? How he can even be religious about his attacks. Beware. We wrestle against the devil. You go into Ephesians 6:12. It speaks to you about the clothing that an overcomer wears. Because when I say overcoming, you get to say, I'm an overcomer. But I'm trying to show you in the areas that we have overcome because it says I have the mind of Christ. So when stuff comes, I refuse it. I might want to give the horn and christen the new name to the guy that cut me off and almost ran into my car. That's true, but I'm not going there. Secondly, the devil. People don't believe in the devil. And that's the funniest thing. I remember the first time I dealt with a possessed person. And they did things the body can't actually technically do, and weird things happen. And when I came away from it, I was stunned. Your adrenaline's going. You're stunned. It stunned me because what I saw, it defied logic. You know, like I live in the world of seeing and touching and feeling, don't you? And then someone either comes off the ground or speaks a fluid Arabic that's a 15-year-old teenager from Chicago. And you just go, wow. Do you understand in your overcoming, these are things you have to think about these times. Our imaginations. There is a devil coming against you. He's very real. But I do want to tell you something. The enemy will want you to compromise. He won't want you to fall into sin. He will want you to obey your flesh. But not so you're unhappy. He wants to do that so that you are ineffective for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. To know this battle is half of the trick because I see people. In fact, I was talking to a man that was suffering horribly. And I brought up the devil, you know. And he got freed up. He told me a few days later, he said, Pastor Mike, when you said you read Ephesians 6:12, I said that is absolute rubbish, the devil. He said, but I got off the phone and you prayed for me and you rebuked and I went from wanting to die to wanting to live. And my ignorance, my pride, when you're saying Ephesians 6:12, I'm thinking, oh, here we go with the devil did this and the devil did that. And part of that battle, even in him, is you better believe there's a devil. Because if you don't, you're going to get sideswiped. Because he does come. Never underestimate your enemy. Number 3, we battle the flesh. It says the flesh sets itself against the spirit. Galatians 5, 6, 17. And the spirit against the flesh. So here's how this works. I have a situation that I would do it in my flesh a certain way. Barbara, think about this. Armand, think about this. I'm not naming you guys because I think you have a problem. Just I need some names here. And it comes. I either feed the beast or deny and starve the beast. I either feed the beast and he gets stronger. And you know how the beast gets stronger of my flesh? I act out with it. When I act out with it, I feed him. He gets stronger. In fact, what you give preference to and obedience to will get stronger than anything else. Whether that's lust, whether that's anger, whether that's violence, whether that's gossip. And this goes back to the thing when I said thinking. And, you know, you got to deal with your thoughts. The flesh is an interesting thing. But the spirit is in me, and I am an overcomer. And this is what's important to know. In that area where maybe I had phobic clinical levels of fear, peace has been seeded into me. And I'm going to overcome because I can do this. And I could say, I trust the Lord. And I start feeding the Spirit of God. He begins to magnify in me. My thoughts go south and I say, that's not of the Lord. I'm an overcomer. I'm going to think differently. And then if I can't think differently and what I'm thinking is wrong, then I will not think about it right now at all. I had a friend and we were praying and stuff, and his mom and him, you know, when you're a teenager, it's interesting. Your Christianity, your teenship, and he really went off on his mom, and we were praying, and we were just like glorifying the Lord, and his mom asked him to clean something. And I understand with some of you guys, kids under 25, that the request to clean brings out a strange and morbid personality trait that is hard to understand. But he went off on her, and I turned to my buddy, and I said, bro, that uncool, man. Your mom's a good woman. What did you do that? And he looked at me and said, Mike, even Jesus would have got mad at her. Now, that may sound funny, because it is, but do you understand what goes on there? He's an overcomer. And then what he tries to say, that he endured even what the Lord would endure, because the Lord would have went off on her too, which he would not have. Again, one of the things that you're going to find coming against overcoming is illusion, that you're not. Delusion, not understanding it. Blame game, where you put it on somebody else or something else. And one more thing, James 4:4, the world. James says that friendship with the world is at enmity with God. Listen, I have never seen Christians so world savvy as I'm seeing them right now. They're very savvy. All of us guys, we watch a lot of media. We know a lot of things. We use lingo. And sometimes we do not understand that sometimes there's a rhythm we're getting into that absolutely, absolutely will hurt our spirit. It isn't all doable. What the world does isn't all copying by you, except you do it with less cussing. So I said, our thoughts, the devil, the flesh, the world, these are the battlegrounds. Isn't it nice to know that in your thoughts, Jesus has given you the mind of Christ? That's why when I choose to think differently about something, guys, all of a sudden I do. Listen, when I was a kid, I grew up in an angry home. I mean, we were all angry. Everybody was angry all the time. I'm going to be honest with you. And if I've had an Achilles, that has been one of my Achilles. But let me explain something to you. The way I was kind of raised and the mentality, we used two excuses. Oh, there's people a lot worse than me. I heard that one for years. As a sinner, I never even questioned, oh, you think that was bad? I just broke a towel rack and put a chair through the window. Listen, there are people doing a lot. That was like always worked. Because in my mind, just to know that there was somebody another, yeah, Charles Manson. But I mean, when you get into certain actions in crowds, you go, yeah, there's people worse. Yeah, they're serving 20 to life. And you know, you may want to think. This is really critical, because when I came to the Lord, I didn't believe you could stop something. In fact, you know, suppressing was bad, so if you're angry, let it out. And it's no sense. If you're mad in your mind, just cuss a bunch, because it releases it. And it actually doesn't. It feeds the beast. It got worse. It got worse. It got worse. It got worse. That's why I believe sometimes crimes of passion and fights that somebody gets killed, even really accidentally, and people can't explain how they did it, what came over them in the moment. But we are overcomers, guys. This is what we need. I think about something about the first thing that I believe God's bringing Christians to, and I say this to you today. You may find in your mind, and I don't got a whole lot more, you may find that the enemy has very subtly, in your mind, you don't say it out loud. Remember, I think things sometimes that have really messed me up that I never speak out loud. You can give up on overcoming and say, I just can't do it, or that's not me. And it doesn't always mean you'll say that verbally out loud. You may act it out. You may live it out. If you watch your life, you may clearly see that he doesn't believe he can overcome. She doesn't believe she can overcome. Giving up on it. That's a lie, actually. There's no other easy. It's not that there's no easy way to put it, that that's hard. That's not hard. But we are overcomers. I believe what God's bringing back to the body is, A, I believe he's going to get Christians once again believing they can overcome. And I don't care how beset by what sin's been going on. God's bringing the voice of liberty to the church. Now, I want to explain something. The voice he's bringing, and I believe soon, to a greater degree of liberty is not to be confused with license. What we saw when liberty, where Christians stopped believing they could be set free, what they went into, the alternative to that, and the devil did, and I'm giving you something I really believe the devil hatched and has pulled out. What we saw come after that was license. And what that said is, don't worry. God loves you. It's all good. You're a mess. You're not getting any freer than you were, but he loves you. So we went from the message from God, from the throne, from the scripture of light, liberty, and overcoming, and people started talking like keywords, buzzwords, love, forgiveness. Well, love and forgiveness are absolute words of God. But we went from liberty to license, because license was the only way we could continue to say, hey, I'm a good Christian, but I'm still in total bondage. But I believe we're going from liberty, we went to license, and God is steering this ship back to liberty again. And he's bringing to people that they can say, I am an overcomer, I will overcome, and if there are areas that are challenging my life, I will overcome. There's a word with overcoming that dictates a battle, many battles. Here's the thing. If you never want to be challenged in the area that you're weak in, you don't want to overcome. Did you know that? If for me, if I when I said at first I read he's an overcomer, what that meant is Jesus would make my life so good that I would never be upset, because there'd be nothing to be upset about. Well, we know that's simply not true. So we go from liberty to license. I believe he's bringing it back to people. I read, just going to rifle through this, where the writer of Hebrews, I used to say Paul all the time, and my teacher when I did like papers, he said, you keep saying the writer Paul did in Hebrews. And he would say, and he gave me a grade once and said, because I took a point off because Paul didn't write Hebrews. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. And I would always go, not yet. Yeah. And he said, Mike, there's grammatical differences in style and, you know, oh, well. So the writer of Hebrews, which is, I think it says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We got to ask ourselves today, and I want you to think of something. We want to overcome, guys. Am I right? We want to overcome. We want to overcome. When I was growing up, if you had this thing you did, it's the way you are. In fact, I didn't feel a lot to go, that's just the way I am. But when I came to Christ, something changed, because there were things that I did that I didn't do no more, and it really floored me, because I wasn't coached. Somebody didn't say, all right, Mike, you're a Christian now, and you can't do this, and you can do this. There was a new nature. And like I said, I was changing. I wasn't perfect. But there was definitive freedoms that I never knew. Do you know, when I was in a burn ward, I started myself on fire when I was a kid. And I was 9 years old. And they took me in the ER, and I almost had third-degree burns. They're very painful, like I just got to tell you. You know, and I don't recommend starting yourself on fire. It's just not a good thing to do. But it happens. And I remember cussing, and I mean vulgar. And the one nurse just looked at and told my mom, can you do something about this? And I was in pain. And I was already so foul. Even at 9, I'm like, mother effing. And the nurse went, oh, my gosh, how old is he? Because I had a very, when I was younger, very cherub face, little pug nose, very, you know, innocent looking. And you got this kid, he weighs about 88 pounds with third-degree burns, and he's just ripping like the devil. But I remember something happened, even when I came to the Lord, because I said, F this, every other word. I'm not kidding. It just got worse as I got older. Do you ever meet somebody that they cuss in spots where you go, even if I wanted to cuss, why did you put that there? That's weird. Now, can I explain to you today why certain things seem to try to linger and other things do not? I really can't. But I do believe there's a progressive work that goes on, because I'm just saying, the first thing that hit me was my language, because I was so fluent with just bad language. Always. Didn't even think about language. I didn't believe language was a problem. I thought when you were mad, you used the F word to emphasize your point. Isn't it interesting how we're doing the GD and the F this so constantly, and we don't realize we're blaspheming the God of heaven with our language? I want to read you 1 John 5:1, and we're almost out of here, guys. And just like I said, this is the word that I believe Uncle was talking about, that you have overcome, you will overcome, you are an overcomer. You have to start expecting a difference in your life. I believe Christians get stuck, Uncle, in ruts. I do. They get stuck. Something becomes habitual, and they get into it for a while, and they cannot see a time where they didn't do it. And then it compounds because they go, I'm a believer. I really know I got born again, and I'm looking at all this. What they don't understand, myself included, is that through that time, there is certain self-trust we put of doing things a particular way. We grab stuff we used to grab, you know, because that's how I used to respond. So we try to do a mixture. But the bottom line is we've overcome, and God wants to give you strength. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Say you want to knock somebody in the head. I can tell you right now, if you will for a second just breathe deep, get a grip, think of Jesus, think of the Word of God, think of who you are, and think, and then deny that action. See, what I'm giving you isn't just a moral lesson. There's a supernatural, because this is how this works. I have given the stuff to the Lord. I remember somebody punched me in the side of the head. You ever get punched in the temple? And I got a hard head. I mean, the person roundhouse me. Guy was bigger than me. Bad scene. And he hit me in the side of the head. And it stunned me. I mean, I saw like a speckles, you know, the white. And I just said, bro, I was talking a little louder. I said, you are so lucky I know Jesus, bro. I said, I would have busted your nose any other time. And I did tell him, I would advise you getting out of this area right now. And he did. He split. Years ago, guys, you hit me, I'm swinging so fast, you know what I mean? Especially the head. I don't know about you guys, I hate being hit in the head. I got the hardest head in the world, I'm telling you. But you realize that you're a new person. And I remember walking out and going, that's amazing, because I did a lot of street work with gang youth. I've gotten slapped around. You know, they try to test your mettle, you know, say, is this guy real? You know, I'm going to see. And I got put up against the wall, but it's little. I mean, he was a punk, you know what I mean? But I wasn't going to do anything. And at that time, I was younger and in a lot better shape. But I want to read something to you. 1 John 5:1, and I want to read this with you. Make this your motto today, too, because 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I think that describes you guys. And whoever loves the Father loves the children born of Him. That's our interpersonal relationship. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. Isn't that interesting? It says, by this, we know we love the children of God when we do what again? When we love God and observe His commandments. This is interesting, because obeying God is the way you'll treat your brother better. There's no doubt about it. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Did you guys ever get in the world? Like, I know when you're younger, the world seems very alive, and the sinners seem like it's doing really good. And yet it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So let me explain something, because I gave you personal areas that we have the ability to overcome today. But even the fact when you're in the faith, you know how I'm saying you're an overcomer. If you know Jesus, it's a lie, anything, because exactly that's what it says. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, when I read about God saying, Mike, would you obey me? And this is where this has gotten so funny in the last decade in the body in America. It's like, to some people, God's a cruel taskmaster, because He asks you to do something you can't possibly do. You know, Dallas, God asks you to obey Him. You will have some downs, you will have some ups, but I know you can listen to Him. But what if you said, That can't be done. You're done. If Armand, imagine if you said, you know, I like some of the stuff to do that the Lord asked me, but that just, you can't do that. Trust me, you'll never overcome an area where you believe it's impossible for you to obey God. Now, a lot of people do a response and go, I'm not perfect, but let me explain something. When God calls us to have a consistent obedience, he's not calling us to perfection. You might go, that doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Jesus says, this is he who does this, who obeys my commandments. They're not burdensome. Now, here's the other thing about 1 John that hits me. He says, according to what God says in his word, listening to him isn't burdensome. Did you ever hear somebody say, oh my gosh, so hard to obey God. Oh my gosh, I go through so much stuff when I obey God, I can't stand it. And yet John says it's not. And whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Listen, the enemy has hit us on so many levels where he said, you really can't do that, and you really can't do that, and it's not possible to really obey, and Lord knows this, and it's not possible to do this. A lot of times we Christians are killing ourselves before the first step of our walk because Satan is a liar. I want you to think about something. A liar by nature, his function is that he spreads lies. Let me explain something to you. You've heard me use the word deceived. Deception's a really weird word. In Greek, it's a weird word too. And let me explain it. The problem, I was telling somebody, I was messing with something when I was a young Christian. And they said, you don't want to mess with that. I said, well, I've got the scripture. They said, I know, but you're mixing elements where you can be deceived. And I said, well, I think I would know if I was deceived. And the person was an elder said, no, actually, Mike, the whole definition of being deceived is when you get deceived, you don't. No, you're deceived. I kind of gave that weird look like, okay. Thank God for elders and just people to speak. I'm just like sitting there going, well, that sounded weird. You know what I'm saying? He says that, I'm like, well, that don't make any sense. But a lot of what I talked about, how God's made you an overcomer, the only thing the enemy's going to really do, yeah, he could bring situations to stir you up. He could bring temptation right to your door. He does that. And then that thing to where you stop believing you can come over something. And that there the lie starts. A liar spreads lies. That's what a liar does. I look in Revelations, and as we close tonight, and two things I want to leave with you. Ephesians 6:12. I want you to read it. I'm giving you a bit of an assignment. 6:12, read the armor of God all the way through. Understand the armor of God. Okay? When I face a battle, I need, and I've always memorized this, the breastplate of righteousness. I need the helmet. I need the sword of the Spirit. I need the shield of faith. I need my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because I will say this, we are soldiers, and as overcomers, we have to understand the garment we wear. And we need to put on. Why did it say that? Because I do see Christians not dressing in the armor. They don't even understand it. They can't even define it. I want you to read 6:12 because there is your thing. Now, as we're going to about stop here, I just want you to think of this. In the Revelations, it says that the devil comes, and can anybody tell me how the saints overcome him? It's two things. Blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The saints, this is another thing. If you had to face the devil by yourself, Barbara, I would say hang it up and go hide. But the beautiful thing, because Jesus has blood and he covers your life, the blood of the Lamb is the right by which we overcome. The word of our testimony is the reality that God's word becomes living to us. Think about facing the devil in all his nastiness and saying, you know what? I can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Wow, I want to say something as we close. I want you to understand today that you are an overcomer. I want you to understand that if you're in a rut, we're going to all rise up and we're going to pray right now. The devil is really the only one that says you can never change. You could never do that right. God will never come to you and say, Mike, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that area you've been believing you can overcome, not true. I love it. I always tell people, the devil, the Lord doesn't ever come to you to discourage you. He may burn you with truth, okay? He may show you things about yourself that are a bit painful, but he will never come and discourage you to where you don't believe the word of God is true and you can't accomplish what it says you can. You know, one time, and I tell saints this a lot, I talk to people all the time. You guys know this. I log thousands of minutes on my phone. It's spiritual talk. I'm not talking, you know, sports and stuff. I have those other 1,000 minutes in another spot in the phone. But I tell you something. I just want to encourage you. And I end up telling a lot of saints. I said, one thing that's really critical is I don't believe your life will be defined by your errors, the mistakes you've made. I believe it'll be more defined by how you dealt with the mistakes. Because the thing is, you will make mistakes. How do you deal with that? And again, you're an overcomer. Don't ask God that the fight doesn't come to you. Believe God when the fight comes to you that you are an overcomer. Very critical today, because I believe there's a renaissance. A resurrection of these age-old truths where we go, you know what? I don't have to be in bondage. Can I tell you something about myself as a first-year believer, specifically the first year, worst memories I have? I put chains back on my arms so many times. I did. I was set totally free. I ran headlong back into stuff so many times, became even repetitive. It was scary and was living a bit of a lie. Because God had not made me like that. The Lord had not cured me. He had not made me well. I was living a lie, meaning I'd look in the Word and get excited, but you know what? I'd turn out of that, forget what I look like, because I look like an overcomer. I am an overcomer. But I believe this is going to be something that we desperately need. I had a friend that told me a story, and a sister was in a prayer meeting, and she had asked that she wanted to overcome. And I haven't heard it in a while. I've heard a lot of us, meaning I can tell you my problems, but because I will say this, if I say, would you ask the Lord that this can't be no more. There's a kind of an obligation when I do that. Seriously. I'm going to feel bound to that truth. If I say, hey, you know, Jim, pray for me because this should not be and I'm done. If I let that out to you, it does create an accountability. And a lot of times saints won't even go there because, well, you know what? So many times we're not settled in these issues. I hate to say it. In fact, sometimes the body wants to go back to Egypt, but the problem is we've been taken out of Egypt. You're in a new land. You're a new creation. If I tell you to start living it, you know, so I told somebody, hey, start walking it. And they got kind of frustrated. Well, what is it, start walking it? Because it's like 1, 2, 3. And then I explained what I'm explaining. I said, well, no, I wasn't putting you off by saying a simple answer. But I'm telling you, here's how you're designed. If you want to walk, you can. If you're a believer, do you not believe you can forgive your enemies, bless those who persecute you? If you're a believer, do you not believe that you can be free of the bondages and the vices we get into with our flesh? If you're a believer, do you not realize that the seed of God is in you already? I say this to encourage you. Father, as we go today and dismiss today, I just pray that blessing. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, that it says, we overcome. We love our brothers when we love you and obey your word. Father, there is a need for a standard to rise up in the body. Lord, it sounds silly, but the little, you know, red fire engine that said, I think I can, we're a lot more than that. We can. We can get the things done with our lives. Lord, the internal stuff we deal with, everybody here, we're human. Everybody here deals with stuff that comes hard at them. But if they've come to trust you, Jesus, it's a fact they can overcome. I pray that blessing. Lord, as a first-year Christian, I was all over the map. A lot of these stories I tell are mine, but it shows also that we can overcome. Lord, I was a guy early on that I think people looked and said, that guy will never make it. But I did make it because I was an overcomer. I stand with overcomers. I'm not standing with people today that it's debating whether they're overcomers. In you, they are. I pray we step up with the imaginations. We take thoughts captive. I pray that we understand that the enemy, the devil, is a real enemy. That we put on the full armor of God. That, Lord, we know the world and all that is in the world is from is of the world. It's not from the Father. Help us, Lord. Lord, we all live in the world. We all deal with the world. We all, you know, we're here. I mean, that's real. But help us to be in the world but not of the world. That's really critical. I pray an encouragement that people not only could say, I think I can, but they're going to realize the change is within their grasp because you've seeded it in their spirits already. The whole thing. It says you put us in us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So as we go this morning or this afternoon, I just pray a total blessing on every soul here. Give hope to those that feel like habitual or I've done this many times or I've been stuck with this. Lord, you would never come to us and say, you know, I can't do nothing about that or you don't have it. I didn't design you to overcome that. You don't do that. I know as a fact, you never in my life have come to me to discourage me about my belief as to what you've made me. You don't do that. Lord, we can identify that voice as the devil, as our flesh, as both. Thank you that we overcome currently by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Lord, as Uncle talked about going in the store, having a divine moment. Lord, I've seen people say, you just can't do that. That just doesn't just happen. Of course it does. He's your son. He's your son. Lord Jesus, you're manifesting in him to this world. But here's the beautiful thing. As we all go from here, and Uncle be the first to say this, we too are Jesus to this earth. We too are walking around doing the ministry of the Savior. We too, God, you want to put in our path this kind of sister, other brothers that are sick, that need prayer, that we can respond to. And before we say, I can't do that, or I'm timid, we need to say, I'm not only an overcomer, I've been an adopted son of God today. I'm going to go pray for this woman. I'm going to go pray for that brother. I'm going to walk around the store. Lord, I've gotten divine opportunities that came out of nowhere, and they're awesome, like Uncle talked about. But we just pray that we might be able to demonstrate this reality of being overcomers. No mountain is too high. Absolutely. No fleshly problem is unsolvable. That's just nonsense. We're believing you for better things, Lord, as we go forth in the name of Jesus. God bless everyone. You be blessed today. Thank you.